front of you, Parenting to the Glory of God. And if you want to write something down, you're sure welcome to, and write down your thoughts. Also, that if there's anything that you want to share afterwards, because I'm sure this is not something that I know everything about. There's a lot I can learn from you. So, I was asked to talk about grandparenting. You may have heard it said that grandparenting should have come first before parenting, because it's more fun. And in some regards, that's true. We get to enjoy these children without the full responsibility of training, disciplining, and the patience that it takes to nurture them 24/7. Now, if you immediately think that what I have to share does not apply to you because you do not have the support from your grandparents, or you don't have children or grandchildren of your own, I hope this will challenge you to broaden your perspective in these relationships. I have a close single girlfriend about my age who became very close friends with neighbor children, and she became like a grandma to them and has for many, many years. Another friend, Kim, who actually, her birthday is today, and I called her this morning and I said, I'm going to talk about you. And then as she started talking, I thought, you know, she's the one that needs to be up here. She's my age, she never married, but legally adopted 3 special needs children. Children when they were very young, and now they're in their late teens and early 20s. Her family is very unique and special. She started sharing with me, she adopted through Bethany Social Services, who no longer exists. But anyway, she's a single woman and decided she wanted to just help somebody have a home, somebody could have a family. She's the first woman that ever adopted, single woman that ever adopted 2 from Hong Kong, that has ever been allowed to happen to her and hasn't happened since. And as she was sharing her situation, she said, do you remember, she didn't have any money, the thousands of dollars that it would take toward adoption. And the Lord, that's why I said she needed to be up here. The Lord landed in her lap. She didn't even know it when she bought the land, but she was on, what would you call it, like in Texas? Yeah, like an oil well that was worth thousands of dollars. But she had started into the process of adoption because the Lord told her to do it. And she started into this process. And she said to the social worker, I don't even have the money for this, but I am a teacher, and da-da-da, started explaining her situation. And the lady said, let's just move forward anyway. And then this came up because of her land, and she was just like, oh my goodness, God always provides. So, also other friends have adopted grandparents that they chose through just church relationships. Or some of us have adopted grandchildren that we have in our body of believers. So this can apply to all of us one way or another. And I'm sensitive toward those who may be looking for that relationship to be developed. Take it as your challenge to start new traditions in your generation. When I first learned that I'd soon be a grandma, I asked a young father what the best advice was that he could give me. He answered, support the parents in how they choose to raise and discipline their own children. He said to give advice when asked. I've tried to follow that recommendation. Wait till I'm asked. My daughter Johanna echoed, she said, respect the parents' rules and support them. She also added, don't spoil them and then send them home for the parents to deal with the consequences. My daughter Miriam says that the best way to be a grandparent is to have time available for the children so that the parents can go out on a date, because this will strengthen their marriage and their family relationships. We do enjoy spending lots of time with each grandchild whenever we can. My mother often said, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. That's how you spell love. When you love somebody, you desire time with them, focused on intentional time with them. When I asked my grandkids what makes a good grandma, they said things which included being active with them, taking walks, playing tennis, riding bikes, baking cookies, reading together, traveling together, baking bread. I have 11 grandkids. So they snowball fights, helping with schoolwork, playing games, going to Dairy Queen. The list could go on and on. But all of them, as you can see, involve time and just having fun. Just have fun with your kids. When our children were young, I came up with the idea of a mystery bag. It was a little gift incentive in this bag that actually said mystery bag. I don't remember where I got it. But it was for just a reward for an appropriate task or a good attitude or a job well done. I've passed that tradition on to the grandchildren. In the mystery bag was gum or candy or a little trinket of some sort. There were also notes that I chose to write on that said, free craft event with Papa, or cookie baking with Manya. They call me Manya. Peter started that. I don't know exactly where he got it, but just one day he started calling me Manya. Trip to Dairy Queen. I also had little papers that said, a free sleepover. We often thought that was kind of funny because we never charged him to spend the night. The children teach us lessons also. We were returning to the valley after a week of family camp. Jared, my son-in-law, and Bennett were in the motorhome in front of us a couple miles, and Johanna and I were in the car with Claire and Philip in their car seats behind us. My phone rang, and it was Bennett, and he said, be careful when you're going through Donnelly. He was speeding in the motorhome. Anyway, when it dropped from 35 to 25, he said that the policewoman pulled him over and gave him a ticket. Clara called from the back seat, Papa, Papa. He said, what, Clara? Papa, and she said, if you don't want the ticket, why don't you just give it back to her? That was something we hadn't thought of. So I have quite a folder that I do write down that I could keep you laughing all morning. Lots of different things that the grandkids have said. I've always felt that our homes were our very first mission field for any one of us, how we treat the family members. That's our first mission field, and of course, passed on to the next generation. But be committed to these grandchildren. The Bible teaches us that God established the family. This may include adopted, fostered, like I said, biological, or chosen members in the family within your circle of your friends. God has a plan for every single life. I've always loved Psalm 139, 13 to 18. It talks of being formed fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's womb, that our days are ordered by God, and his thoughts are precious toward us. God puts us right where we are to be. Psalm 68:6 says that God sets the solitary in families. Have you ever thought about how that you never could have been born to anybody else except that mom and that dad? God's sovereignty. In Acts 16:30-33, when the jailer was saved, they talk about it including his family. And when in Joshua, when Rahab had her house preserved from falling, it included her household, not just her, but the household. Do your grandchildren feel that you are committed to them? Are they encouraged by that? I've heard Bennett say to Peter, I am your grandpa, Papa. There's nothing you can do about it. That makes Peter, I'm sure, feel very secure. Like, I am here for good. I'm stuck. He's our adopted grandson, for those of you that might not know that. Adopted, not biological, but adopted, that is legally adopted. Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their father. If the grandchildren don't live close by, it's going to look a little bit different, but not less meaningful. We do utilize the video chats and FaceTime. You could live in the same town and practice some of these tools that we talk about here today, or not practice them. Or you may live a distance away, but when you do have time together, it is more condensed and can be just as meaningful. All my married life, I lived a distance from my parents in Pennsylvania. Nevertheless, I felt that I was one of the closest children to them because we were intentional with our time together. We desire for that next generation to be influenced by our values. I wanted to learn those things from my parents, those values and the wisdom and the faith that they have. We have that shared history and heritage. Grandparents can pass on to the grandchildren their family traditions, life stories. How many times have you heard, "Can you tell me about?" Or how many times have you said that very question to your own mother or grandmother? When you see grandchildren, your grandchildren, do they run into your arms and give you big hugs? Meaningful touch communicates that love and acceptance and security. It has been said that babies need that physical touch in order to grow. A job that you can get in the hospital. I've always thought I wanted this job. Is just to rock those infants and hold them and touch them. That actually in itself helps them to grow. When Ben and I go to the doctors for our annual physical, and if our blood pressure is a little high, I'll say, "Just rub my back, honey." And of course, they always say, "Okay, we'll come back and take it again, you know." And he'll rub my back for a little while. Sure enough, as soon as he rubs my back, it's like, I'm just melting. And the blood pressure always goes back to normal. So touch really does matter. 60% of what our grandkids learn from us is nonverbal. Actions speak louder than words. You've heard that phrase. But we all know, too, that words matter. We'll talk about that in a minute. Soon after we had our children, I was reading in Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." It goes on to say, verse 6, "These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You'll teach them diligently to your sons, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." That takes time. "You'll bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house." I really like the whole trend toward verses on boards on our walls, you know, that is just a reminder. When I tuck my grandkids in bed, I usually lie down beside them. Recently, Ella said, "I love how you love me and lay down beside me." When Jeremy was in college, he came home periodically. He was in his room, and I walked by, and he said, "You are going to pray with me and hug me, right?" This is when he was college age. But start those things when they're as young as you can. Luke 18:15 says that Jesus asked the little children to come so that he could touch them. He knew that that meant a lot. That was Luke 18:16. Now, after talking about the importance of touch, it's also important to speak blessings. Words have incredible power. My daughter-in-law, Carrie, as she tucks the children in bed, recites Numbers 6, 24 to 26. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you." be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Speak and listen. Do both with focused intentionality. Words do have incredible power. Has somebody said something to you that you've never forgotten? You know, it could have been influence in a good way, or it could have been just a comment that you went, you know, but you remember it. James 3, 3 and 4 reminds us of the power of the tongue, like the bit in the horse's mouth or the rudder moving that huge ship. A friend of mine in her 40s had made some wrong choices, and as we talked about her situation, she said that her parents didn't really expect anything different from her. So think about what we say. Words should express high value. Expect the best. I love Jeremiah 29:11 that says, he has plans to prosper us and to bring a good end. The words on our walls speak to what we meditate on. When you walk into your children's room, what do you see? Or your grandkids' room? What are they meditating on? In our bathroom at home as I grew up, there was a little plaque that said, have you prayed about it? You know, everybody uses the bathroom lots. So I read that phrase, have you prayed about it? One day my sister and I were just chatting away in the bathroom, and she's talking about a boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. I said, have you prayed about it? Of course, we both started laughing. But that was what was right before my eyes. Words read or repeated often don't leave our minds easily. Influence your grandchildren with blessings from God's word. Just like Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Then he's going to be like that tree, planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also will not wither. Whatever it does, it's going to prosper. Can you imagine just speaking those words to your grandchildren? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord, Peter, or Isaac, or Ella. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. I love Romans 12, 2 that talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will. How are we going to figure it out? By studying God's word. Speak blessings. Genesis 48, 9, 10, and 14 tells the story of Joseph bringing his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to their grandpa Jacob for him to embrace them, kiss them, and bless them. Also in Mark 10, 13 to 16, they brought their children to Jesus so that he might touch them. Jesus said, "Permit the children to come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter in at all." He took them in his arms, began blessing them, laying his hands on them. One fall several years ago, my sister came with her family to visit, and our daughters were standing there by Martha and I, and then these second cousins, there were about six of them, all sitting in front of us. And I said, okay, I'm going to ask a question. And the first one to raise your hand and tell me the answer. So I said, how are you guys all related to each other? Peter popped his hand up. He said, because we're all created by, we were all related to Adam and Eve. And I went, oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good Sunday school answer. Well, but I said, I was thinking just a little bit closer connection. So So I'm going to ask the question again. How are you guys related to each other? Peter pops his hand up again. Well, Noah and the flood. I said, well, that's a little bit closer. Okay, let's think a little bit closer connection. So I asked the question again. How are you guys related? Peter's hand went up again first. Well, we're all created by God. He's just like, come on. Well, he was outsmarting me. I just thought for sure he'd say, you grandmas and you moms and, you know. My mother prayed for each of us. I had 8 siblings in my family. She prayed for us and our spouses, the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren every single day. When she passed on, I counted, how many names were there? 75. And I thought, wow. And it takes time, right? But that's okay. One of her friends at church, another grandma lady, said, do you know all of your grandkids by name? All of your great-grandkids is by their name? Mom said, well, of course. I pray for every single one of them every single day. I know their names. So this point, I think, is the most important. One of the greatest gifts we can give our grandchildren is our prayers for them and for their parents to have wisdom. Psalm 103:17 says, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Psalm 128:1-6 talks of the blessings on those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. And it ends with, so that you may see your children's children. How good is that? Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you don't forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons. So share these precepts with your grandchildren. As we pray for them, pay attention to their individual needs, their strengths, and their weaknesses. Pray God's word over them. Can you imagine just saying to one of your grandchildren out of Proverbs 22:1, a good name, fill in the blank, your good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Make it a good name. You know, it's interesting how when we hear a name, we have connections. We go, oh, I like that name, because you knew somebody that you really liked. Or, oh, you know. But there's some feeling or some thought that goes with that good name. But a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You can pray the armor of God, Ephesians 6. Pray the armor of God over them. Teach them those pieces of the armor, how important it is to place those tools in their pocket so that they know to use them. Psalm 119:105, God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Again, put their name in there. God's word will help you. James 1:5, that God would give us abundant wisdom, or God will give you abundant wisdom. Sing with them and to them. I have a special chorus that it comes out of Psalm 37, but it's all about fret not. The kids all sing the chorus, fret not, he's watching over you. And then the verses are all about committing, trusting, delighting in the Lord, and resting in the Lord. Children love music. Grandchildren are a gift from above, ones to cherish and to love. Side by side or miles apart, grandchildren are always close to the heart. One of the greatest gifts are my grandchildren. We can't convert these grandchildren. That's God's business and the work of his Holy Spirit. But we can pray for them. Never interpret the silence of God as indifference. God isn't indifferent. Just be still and wait on him, because his timing is always good. Life isn't over yet. So if you're waiting for certain answers, just wait on God. He's at work for you and me, and his timetable is best. So make the most of your days. Just enjoy your grandchildren to the fullest, and just love them, and spend that time showing that love. Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for this time that we can just reflect on the gifts that you've given us, the gift that we have of life, and that we have to share our values and our faith with the next generation. And not just, like I said, not just the biological families, but Heavenly Father, we know that you have other people in our lives that you place there to be encouraged and to encourage us. And I pray that you would just help us to stay close together as a body of Christ and to do the work that you have for us to do. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.